VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very critical program. You need to hear the information we're going to be sharing today. I would ask that you please have handy, and I'm giving you advance warning, have handy a pen or pencil, a sheet of paper. I'm going to be providing you some bill numbers and some contact phone numbers here today and some critical information you need to know about. Friends, it's like the floodgates have opened, and what has transpired within just the last few days alone is amazing. I've got enough stacks of paper here to last at least 2 to 3 Crosstalk programs of steady news reading as far as issues that are going on. I had planned to air some news clips, so we're not going to have time for the clips today because we're going to get right into so many of the critical issues that are facing us. And basically, as a the tsunami that's hitting us, and as a watchman on the wall, today we're sounding the alarm. And you need to take notice to what is going on, to be informed, and to certainly act according as God would have you act, but to inform others as well to the critical information. Before we get into some of the stories today, I want to thank Dalton Windsor here for sharing a post that came just within the last hour from Tony Evans. Tony Evans from The Urban Alternative says, "It's been a difficult week for us at The Urban Alternative, but we're continuing to thank God for His grace, covering, and presence. It started last Friday when my positive COVID diagnosis, for which I'm continuing to seek treatment and coveting the prayers of our ministry family, partners, and church members. I shared this news with our church last Saturday. Then, the winter freeze hit Texas and has caused so much damage to so many people's homes, health, businesses, churches, and more." He sent a couple photos of their offices at Urban Alternative, where dedicated team members have been shipping anything and everything that people request from the ministry over the years, books, CDs, DVDs, but the pipes burst and the entire facility flooded. He said, "I share this to help encourage more people to pray for those who are truly impacted by this weather. Our offices will be fine. We will rebuild. We will continue serving those who partner with us in ministry, but because Texas is not a cold weather state, many people have lost much more than this. Power grids have completely shut down in some areas, causing internal temperatures to get dangerously low. Many are now without water. Frozen pipes have caused homes, churches, and businesses to flood. Livestock have been affected. The elderly have been shut in, some unable to get the medical help that they need." Folks, all of this as a reminder to be praying for so many that are being impacted in a negative way in the state of Texas. We know Oklahoma is another state, and southern states just not prepared for the kind of what we consider to be normal winters here in the upper Midwest. But be praying for Dr. Tony Evans, his ministry, and the so many other churches that are being impacted by this weather as well. Well, friends, here comes the warning, the first of many warnings today on the program. Yesterday afternoon, shortly after Crosstalk, I received word that there was a formal introduction of the Equality Act that was taking place. Now, there have been numerous programs that have been conducted over the past year on the Equality Act, specifically when the House of Representatives had passed this a year ago. We had programs with Matt Staver, programs with Peter LaBarber, other guests also talking about the Equality Act. Well, the U.S. House of Representatives is scheduled now to vote next week on radical pro-abortion and pro-LGBT Equality Act that I'm reading from LifeSiteNews.com. The act, which was passed by the Democratic-controlled House in 2019, but blocked by the Senate, then controlled by Republicans, would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity among expressly recognized non-discrimination categories, like in public accommodations, which should also be expanded to include many additional types of establishments, including recreation, shopping, online retailers, healthcare services, and more. And folks, that includes your local church. It would also force anyone employing 15 or more people to recognize people's claimed gender identity, forbid employers from discriminating based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and mandate transgender access to opposite-sex restrooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms, showers. The list goes on, folks. In addition, with President Joe Biden's firm promise that the Act's passage be the first thing I ask to be done, he has prioritized the bill for consideration by the Democrat-controlled Congress. Given the bill's prior success in the House, it is expected to pass. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer announced that the Act would make its way to Congress next week. He told the Washington Blade that the Act requires immediate attention. I also received today, early this morning, a press release from the Southern Poverty Law Center that is joining a coalition and calling on Congress to pass the so-called Equality Act. As Peter LaBarbera has been here with us, he has said, this is the Criminalizing of Christianity Act. This coming Monday, now I'm going to give you a bill number here momentarily, so be ready to jot it down. I'll give you a phone number. Be ready to jot it down. This coming Monday, we'll be devoting the entire Crosstalk program with Constitutional Attorney Matt Stever to come and break down this issue of this legislation known as the Equality Act. Now, friends, it was just introduced into the House of Representatives February 18th. That is yesterday. Do you realize that already there are 223 co-sponsors of this legislation? There are 435 members of the House of Representatives. Do you know that more than half of the House has signed on to this as a co-sponsor? It is H.R. 5. H.R. 5. All 223 co-sponsors are Democrats. There's not one Republican as of this moment that has joined on as a co-sponsor of this so-called Equality Act, H.R. 5. The Senate version has also come out. We're waiting for a bill number from the Senate. So we have the text. Lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin sent it out yesterday, sent the text, but it does not have a bill number yet in the Senate. And so therefore, we will continue to monitor when that number is released. But, folks, they are scheduled to pick this up next week and vote on it. So the number, the phone number to your House of Representatives, will be breaking down the legislation further. You can go to congress.gov and read it for yourself. Go to congress.gov, put in H.R. 5, and you'll be able to read the text over the weekend. We'll be talking further with Matt Stever on this on Monday. But we'd encourage you to become familiar with what this legislation is. We're going to break it down, Lord willing, further on Monday's Crosstalk with Matt Stever at Liberty Council. The phone number to the House switchboard is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Now, I've got more information to share, so you may want to hold off on that call for just a moment. But I also want to give you the Senate switchboard number because, folks, this is going to go through like grease lightning. It's going to go through like grease lightning. Already they have more than enough votes just by the co-sponsorship alone. The Senate is also controlled now by the Democratic majority. It's 50-50, but Vice President Kamala Harris is the tie-breaking vote. And so the Equality Act is scheduled to go before the Senate or before the House next week. We don't know the timetable for the Senate at this point, but you do need to be informed. You do need to contact your member of Congress, the House of Representatives, I should say, and also your two U.S. senators. Here's another issue that's going on. And by the way, so the House number is 202-225-3121. The Senate number is 202-224-3121. We will have more time on Monday. We'll be delving into it very much. But I'd encourage you to have your pastors listening, have your church leadership be listening to Crosstalk on Monday, because this will impact their church. It will impact your church. Let me quick jump. I'm going to just give you a preview here. On page 25 of the bill, here's what it says. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under a cover title or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a cover title. Now, they talk about public accommodation and housing and employment, on and on it goes. But folks, don't think that there's going to be a religious carve-out for your church, because the Act itself says there is no protection from the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So don't think that you're exempt. Your Christian school, your church, the Christian ministries, homeless shelters, on and on it goes. So be calling, be listening. Folks, there's another issue that's going on in Congress right now. We also received word this week from the parentalrights.org regarding the Washington, D.C. Minor Consent for Vaccinations Act of 2020. It's now in Congress, where there's only a few weeks to pass what they call a crucial veto resolution before it becomes law in the district and model for other states to follow. Here's what it is. It's D.C. Bill number 23-171. 23-171. It's called the Minor Consent for Vaccinations Act of 2020. And friends, this would not only allow children as young as 11 years old to give legally binding consent to receive a vaccine, it would also prohibit the provider of that vaccine from recording the shot in the child's medical record. It would require the provider to send the record only to the child's school, but would prohibit the school from recording the vaccination on any record that the parents might see, and even prohibit the insurance carrier from sending an explanation of benefits form that lists the vaccination. ParentalRights.org says the purpose of these provisions is clear. They're meant to not just cut parents out of the child's medical decisions, but also to keep the parents from ever knowing that the vaccination took place. And if the family physician is not the one administering the shot, there's no way for them to find out about it either. What's even worse, once this bill has passed in D.C., it's going to become an example for other states to follow. And folks, you will see this copycat legislation in states across the nation. Soon it's going to be in my state, and it's going to be in your state, and children will be the ones in danger. What 11-year-old is able to make an intelligent decision on giving authorization to receive a vaccination? Right now, the parentalrights.org is encouraging you to contact your member of Congress. I'm going to give you some numbers here. These are resolution numbers that are both in the House and the Senate. And here we have also, just to put this in perspective, this bill was adopted in the District of Columbia December 23rd. This one, the mayor, Muriel Bowser, declined to veto this during her 10-day window to do so. This will take effect in Washington, D.C. on March 23rd unless Congress passes a veto resolution in the next 30 legislative days. Congress has only 30 legislative days to pass a resolution to keep this minor consent bill from becoming permanent law in the Capitol, which would set a precedent many states could try and follow. Now, here is the veto resolutions here that have been proposed. It's going to maybe confusing to you because the resolution is to veto the bill. So the resolution would veto what the mayor or what the new Washington, D.C. has done. And that break came upon me too fast here. So you stand by. I'll give you the bill numbers in the House and the Senate where you can let your voice be heard. I'm back in a minute. Have that pen handy, a sheet of paper. We'll give you the information after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Such critical issues that are upon us. And friends, every single day, so critical to be listening to this program. Lord willing, on Monday, Matt Staver will be with us from Liberty Council dealing with this, on my perspective, an unconstitutional so-called Equality Act. Tuesday, Lord willing, Tom DeWeese will be with us from the American Policy Center. We're going to talk about some of the things going on in Texas right now, but also, my, what's going on with John Kerry right now, the climate czar. He is vowing aggressive climate steps for the United States. We have rejoined now the Paris Climate Accord. He's planning some aggressive steps to be taken by the U.S. Texas ought to be a wake-up call to the Green New Deal. And here they are going full force into this. We also have the likes of Bill Gates calling upon for the eating of synthetic beef all across America. Don't eat real cows. Don't eat beef cattle. Eat synthetic beef. And we're going to be delving into those issues, Lord willing, on Tuesday with Tom DeWeese and Usama Dakdak, scheduled to be in studio with us on Wednesday. Critical issues. So let's get back here to what we're talking about, this matter in Washington, D.C. It is a D.C. bill. This is for a city ordinance, D.C. Bill 23171, the Minor Consent for Vaccinations Act of 2020, that would allow for children as young as age 11 to give legally binding consent to receive a vaccine, and they go out of the way to make sure that parents do not know. Parents will receive no information regarding this at all. There are some resolutions. This can be stopped by the Senate and the House. Both the House and the Senate have resolutions that have been introduced to put a stop on this, that vetoes what they did in Washington, D.C., in the city itself. But they have to pass it. They have to pass it at House and Senate, or it will become law in the month of March, next month. It is House Joint Resolution 25. House Joint Resolution 25. On the Senate side, it is Senate Joint Resolution 7. Senate Joint Resolution 7. And if passed, these would veto that D.C. law. They would veto the D.C. law. And so these are bills that those who are in support of the legislation, in support of the legislation, would be to veto the law. If you think that's a great thing to allow young children to give consent, then you would be opposed to these resolutions. But the resolution themselves would say, Washington, D.C., you went too far and we're going to stop it. House Joint Resolution 25, Senate Joint Resolution number 7. And your congressmen need to hear from you. Your House member, your senators need to hear from you. Let me repeat the House and Senate phone numbers again. The House switchboard, 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And the Senate is 202-224-3121. Oh, friends, there's so many other issues. At this point, I cannot promise we'll have open lines today, but I've got a lot of information I'll share with you. We'll see how it goes. Daily Signal reporting a new book, Black Lives Matter at School, lays out how the entire system of K-12 education in America could be transformed to carry out the agenda of the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter at School, it's a collection of essays, gives a framework for how the movement aims to shape public education in the coming years. The author of one essay in Black Lives Matter at School wrote a book in praise of Marxism. Many of the items on the economic and social agenda laid out in the book are quite a radically left-wing effort. Now, you couple that with what's going on. Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network, Catherine Smith wrote an article here, has released a public service announcement telling children that they must see color and view individuals through a skin color-based lens in order to be anti-racist. They have ads, three characters, one white, one black, and one purple alien named Amethyst. It's important to see people in all of the beautiful colors. When you see color and the unique experiences that come from it, you can recognize the role racism plays in our culture and appreciate everyone and their diversity, the clip's description reads. Taking a look here also, a troubling story about this topic. A New York school principal sends a tool for action to white parents, telling them to become white traitors. The principal of the East Side Community School in Manhattan reportedly sent white parents a tool for action, urging them to become white traitors before ultimately becoming advocates for white abolition. Barner Hesse, a associate professor of African American Studies, Political Science, and Sociology at Northwestern University, wrote that the worksheet and its accompanying chart are titled The Eight White Identities. The chart features a scale delineating the eight white identities, according to Hesse. Those with Caucasian skin, based on the professor's chart, fit into one of the following groups: white supremacist, white voyeurism, white privilege, white benefit, white confessional, white critical, white traitor, or white abolition. His chart suggests that white critical, white traitor, and white abolition, located on the left side of the scale in green, are the only acceptable identities, with white abolition being the most appropriate group. Here are how they are identified. White critical, take on board broad critiques of whiteness and invest in exposing marking the white regime, refuses to be complicit with the regime, whiteness, speaking back to whiteness. A white traitor is actively refusing complicity, names what's going on, intention is to subvert white authority and tell the truth at whatever cost, need them to dismantle institutions, and the ultimate goal is to become a white abolitionist, which is changing institutions, dismantling whiteness, and not allowing whiteness to reassert itself. Matter of fact, activist mommy Elizabeth Johnson writes, too, about the Oregon Department of Education promoting anti-racist math programs, warning of white supremacy inherent in math. This is Oregon's Department of Education sent out an online bulletin last week to the state's math educators, offering resources to celebrate Black History Month. In addition to profiling prominent Black mathematicians, the newsletter promoted resources by Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction for Educators, looking for a deeper dive into equity work. The tool provides teachers an opportunity to examine their actions, beliefs, and values around teaching mathematics, reads the Dismantling Racism in Mathematics Instruction Guide. A white supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms and everyday teacher actions, the guide declares. Coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetuate educational harm on Black, Latinx, and multilingual students, denying them full access to the world of mathematics. Well, here are some of the examples of white supremacy culture that the guide claims in the classroom. Here it is: the focus on getting the right answer. Did you know that that's equated with white supremacy, the focus on getting the right answer? Here's another: independent practice is valued over teamwork. Real world math is valued over math in the real world. Students are tracked. Participation structures reinforce dominant ways of being. Folks, this is crazy what's going on in the classrooms. Oregon, that is. Also, from Standard Newswire, Rick Bodine, successful realtor in the town of Pinckney, Michigan, learned the hard way that publicly stating all lives matter will get you fired. He was fired by the owner of Remax Platinum Real Estate Company after having worked in the company for over 20 years. What was his offense? On June 11th, 2020, after seeking a community Facebook page, after seeing a community Facebook page that said Black Lives Matter, planned a protest in his community, he responded from his personal Facebook page saying, "Can't we just all promote in Pinckney that all lives matter?" Well, he was fired the next day to appease Black Lives Matter, even though he had often touted this worker as one of the best promoters in his company. Sadly, the owner fired him because he was concerned about possible retaliation from Black Lives Matter mobs and boycotts. Wisconsin's capital city, Madison, is trying to ban white people from police oversight boards. That's the Federalist reporting. In Madison, the leftist city government recently established a police civilian oversight board in response to activists concerned with police relations. The board's message is rather vague. provide input, engage in community outreach, and make policy-level decisions. What the board is not vague about is who's allowed to participate. 6 of the board's 11 members must be Black. No Asians, American Indian, Hispanics, or Latinos, or whites can sit in those 6 seats. Blacks only. And then, furthermore, the board's seat, one seat then is reserved for Asian, one for an American Indian, one is reserved for someone identifying as Latinx. Finally, one board member reserved for a member of the LGBT community. Let's hit another issue from CBNNews.com. The city of San Francisco suing its own school district to order the reopening of classrooms due to the high number of suicides among children during the pandemic. Experts are saying that keeping the schools closed is catalyzing a mental health crisis among school-age children, according to the city's lawsuit. City and county public schools have been closed due to COVID since last March, affecting nearly 52,000 students. The Children's Hospital has seen a 66% increase in the number of suicidal children in the emergency room. 75% increase in youth who required hospitalization for mental health services, the lawsuit says. But the city's lawsuit points to the successful reopening of 114 private, parochial, and charter schools with more than 15,000 students and 2,400 staff. Out of all these students and staff, the legal filing reveals there have only been 5 cases of suspected in-person transmission. And now the city of San Francisco suing their own school district to get children back into the classrooms. By the way, Jen Psaki, the press secretary for Joe Biden, will not guarantee that the COVID relief funds meant to help struggling small businesses dealing with the pandemic, she will not guarantee that they won't be used to help kill babies and abortions of funding the Planned Parenthood abortion business. There's another issue coming up, folks. Another one that needs your input to your senators. This comes from the National Religious Broadcasters. 2 Senate committees will be holding hearings next week on President Biden's nomination of Xavier Becerra to be Secretary of State and Secretary of Health and Human Services. The Senate's Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions will consider the nomination February 23rd, followed by the Senate Finance Committee on February 24th. As a proponent of partial birth abortion, Xavier Becerra would fail to represent the views of not only millions of Christians, but also the views of the most Americans on this repugnant and reprehensible practice, said Troy Miller, the CEO of NRB. NRB has strongly opposed the confirmation sending it out to senators that this confirmation could result in threats to the conscience rights of religious believers. We pray that the Senate will vote no on his confirmation. Again, folks, you may contact your senators at 202-224-3121. It's going to be voted on in committee next week, 2 different committees, before going to the full U.S. Senate. From Liberty Council, South Dakota legislators leading the way this week with 3 bills that protect the lives of children. Tuesday, the Senate in South Dakota protected newborn babies who survive abortions from infanticide. Another bill, HB 1051, requires an abortionist must provide same medical care to a baby who survives an abortion that would be provided to any other baby born at that same gestational age. And then there's also a bill from the governor that would forbid abortions on those receiving diagnosis of Down syndrome. That unanimously passed in the House State Affairs Committee. That's moving on. As also another bill that would require women to sign a statement stating their physician informed them on the risk associated with abortion, that they told them sex selection abortions are illegal in South Dakota. Governor Noem said, we want to protect children from with Down syndrome in South Dakota from being discriminated against just for having an extra chromosome. We'll be back in 1 minute with more stories. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Critical information coming your way here today from Crosstalk. And appreciate your listening in. And do what you can to help get this information out. Send links of this program or get hard copy CDs or go online. Within a couple hours, it's posted up to our website, crosstalkamerica.com. You'll also find Crosstalk posted at sermonaudio.com. And when you get those links, send them out to others as well to keep them informed, especially as we think about the so-called Equality Act coming up for a vote as early as next week in the House of Representatives. Again, Matt Staver, scheduled to be with us on Monday. We'll take more of a deep dive into the Equality Act, so-called, and break it down as to what exactly the intentions are and what this will mean. What are the ramifications of this here upon churches and Christian ministries and upon businessmen and women here across our land? What does this mean upon schools and colleges and universities? And the list goes on. Well, let me cover a few more stories. Yes, the governor of South Carolina has signed a bill to ban abortions when the baby's heartbeat does begin. That's already being challenged now by the ACLU, we understand, and also Planned Parenthood. This interesting from Epic Times, Minneapolis is going to be spending some $6.4 million to recruit more police officers. This while the city is trying to reimagine policing and change to, you know, to a public safety department. But they have had just a flood of retirees and officers who have just said, hey, we're not going to be doing this any longer. The department says it only has 638 officers available to work. That's roughly 200 fewer than usual. Here's another issue, folks. Truly amazing. From APnews.com, the Biden administration yesterday rescinded former President Trump's restoration of the sanctions on Iran. And in an announcement that could help Washington move toward rejoining the 2015 nuclear agreement aimed at reining in the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. In other words, he is undoing the sanctions against Iran. Basically, this is what Iran has ordered him to do. And they made demands upon his administration, even as he was waiting to be sworn in as president. And it looks like President Biden is giving sway to Iran and to remove the sanctions and seeking to again be a part of this so-called Iran nuclear deal. The Independent reporting that Biden's new Pentagon chief is purging Trump loyalists, including one who called Obama a terrorist leader. This is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announces immediate suspension of former appointees, including several known for their remarks that have been made online. This is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. He has ordered the immediate suspension of all advisory committees installed under the previous administration while purging the Pentagon of close allies and loyalists to former President Trump. Not only that, folks, here is what else going on to attack former President Trump. From WesternJournal.com, legislation supported by House Democrats would punish the former president long after he's gone. It was a bill introduced January 25. Linda Sanchez of California called the No Glory for Hate Act. I've mentioned this previous, but saying we should never glorify the hatred that Donald Trump personified as president. The bill ensures that there's no glory for hate, not a building, a statue, or even a park bench, she said. The bill never refers to Trump by name, instead saying it would prohibit the use of federal funds for the commemoration of certain former presidents and for other purposes. However, the fact is that the legislation is tailored to focus on Trump, as the bill's text said it would ban the creation or display of any symbol, monument, or statue commemorating any former president that has been twice impeached by the House of Representatives. My. By the way, Michigan,
Michigan has removed 177,000 voters from their voter rolls in January after they certified the Biden win by Michigan by 154,000 votes. So Biden won by 154. Now after the election, they are removing 177,000 names. They're saying, oh, they're inactive names. The voters no longer live in the state or did not respond to the state's inquiries about their addresses. How many of these 177,000 may have voted in the November election? I don't have an answer to that. I wonder, though. Folks, another striking out of cancel culture, and it's hitting a Christian ministry. Today, a press release just hours ago from D. James Kennedy Ministries, Lifetime TV, that's a cable channel, Lifetime TV, has demanded in February that D. James Kennedy Ministries eliminate all controversial content from Truths That Transform, its weekly half-hour Christian broadcast. Specifically, Lifetime announced it would no longer air programming that addressed abortion or left-wing financier George Soros. And it refused to carry any DJKM programming, even broadcasts celebrating George Washington, unless the media ministry founded in 1974 agreed to Lifetime's sweeping new conditions. Because of Lifetime's newfound ban on so-called controversial content, D. James Kennedy Ministries has been forced off the cable channel, said Frank Wright, the president and CEO. Lifetime's sudden decision to impose severe content restrictions came after nearly 3 years during which the cable channel aired without comment Truths That Transform programs. Yet in February, Lifetime joined the growing number of private media firms, among them Twitter, Facebook, Google, Apple, and others, who are deplatforming and silencing outspoken Christian and conservative voices. Frank Wright said, "We will not cave to the cancel culture." But now it's Christian ministries. We will not allow you to preach against abortion. We will not allow you to speak against George Soros. Well, what is happening? Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar was promoted to vice chairwoman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Subcommittee on Africa and Global Human Rights Issues, according to the Minneapolis-based Star Tribune. Isn't she the one that flies a Palestinian flag outside her office, you know, has it there and has been in favor of the BDS movement against Israel? Well, she got a promotion for it. WesternJournal.com tells us what's going on and how bad things are in Chicago right now. Chicago Police Department detective, while he's investigating a homicide, he was mugged by two armed individuals. One of the two suspects taken into custody, the other not caught. The detectives canvassed the area. People approached the officer from behind, assaulted him, going through his pockets. The detective's partner witnessed the incident, quickly intervened. The offender fled the scene. One of them was caught. Both offenders were armed, one brandishing a knife while the other had a handgun. And by the way, this Donald Trump causing provoked the riots in Washington, D.C., listen to this headline from WND.com. The leftists arrested for a riot at the Capitol had been paid $70,000 by CNN and NBC. The arrest last month by the FBI of revolutionary activist John Earl Sullivan shattered the narrative that the Antifa movement that was responsible for rioting across America in 2020 shattered the idea that they had nothing to do with the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Sullivan is the founder of a group called Insurgents USA, already was facing rioting and criminal mischief charges before he was briefly taken into custody for the D.C. mayhem. At a late August event in Washington, he's even on video telling a crowd, "We're about to burn this," and then he used an expletive, "we got to rip Trump out of office." Well, at the Capitol on January 6th, he allegedly used rioters to climb over a wall and admitted breaking a Capitol window. Now the Washington Examiner reports that Sullivan claims to have been paid tens of thousands of dollars by CNN and NBC for the footage of the riots. A video of the 25-year-old Sandy, Utah resident, the Examiner said, showed him following and encouraging Trump supporters from the entrance of the Capitol all the way to the moment when the Air Force veteran tried to climb through the window and was shot and killed by a Capitol police officer. Sullivan's attorney, Stephen Kirsch, argued this week in court that his client was a journalist, not an agent provocateur. Well, here is what's interesting in all of this. Sullivan was on video approaching a crowd at the Capitol saying, let's go, this, and use an expletive, is ours. Let's burn this down. He's also seen joining a crowd trying to open doors and saying, I have a knife, let me go. So here he is on his own camera. You can hear him saying this while he's filming. And evidently, according to reports, was getting paid by CNN and NBC. The DOJ charged that he positioned himself with a front seat to not one but multiple confrontations with officers at multiple locations, made consistently gleeful exhortations about burning and breaking things. National Guard troops are still in D.C. They've been told this week that they're going to remain there until March 22nd. There are a number of lawmakers said that there's no imminent threat. Bring them home. Many have wondered, why are they still there? From townhall.com, the Department of Homeland Security will begin phase one of the Biden administration's new approach to immigration and asylum seekers by releasing thousands of migrants in three American cities over a two-week period. The new plan will have DHS start releasing illegal aliens in San Diego, California, El Paso, Texas, and Brownsville, Texas. According to Breitbart and the AP, around 25,000 migrants will be let into the country through the first phase. DHS plans to process and release about 300 a day in both San Diego and El Paso, with plans to release about 100 a day in Brownsville. WND.com tells us in New York, Representative AOC and Chuck Schumer joined forces this week to publicize a federal program that will reimburse the families of COVID victims up to $7,000 for funeral expenses for deaths from the disease that occurred in 2020, even if the death involved an illegal alien. Newsmax.com, Democrats unveiled legislation yesterday for President Joe Biden's plan to create a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants. They write, saying that there is no justification for denying them a permanent home in the United States. It's going to offer an eight-year plan to citizenship to most of the 11 million. They are told that they cannot refer to the undocumented immigrants as aliens. Rather, they're to be called non-citizens. By the way, there are more states. Campus Reform reports that more states are considering allowing illegal aliens to pay cheaper tuition than American citizens. Legislators in Georgia, Arizona are advancing bills that would allow illegal immigrant students to pay in-state tuition at state schools, though American citizens from other states would still pay out-of-state tuition. Meanwhile, the Virginia General Assembly passed a bill that would allow illegal immigrant students to access state financial aid and school-based aid, even though they already pay in-state tuition. Hallmark. Are you a fan of Hallmark? Well, the Hallmark Channel is promising more LGBT characters. The CEO says this is who we are. Yeah, the head of the Hallmark Channel parent company said this week, this is ChristianHeadlines.com, that the network remains committed to including LGBT characters in storylines, and fans will see more of that in the future. This month, the Hallmark Channel debuts Mix Up in the Mediterranean, which was billed as the first Hallmark movie with a gay lead. Last year, two new Hallmark movies, The Christmas House and Wedding Every Weekend, featured LGBT characters. Hallmark's push to include LGBT storylines followed a 2019 controversy over a commercial depicting a same-sex kiss. Well, Hallmark is going to go into it so much more. And not only Hallmark, but Nickelodeon as well, as they have celebrated now in this new Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues and You, the official YouTube channel for the show, featuring the alphabet. And P standing for pride. You see the rainbow pattern there. There is that flanked by different pride flags, bisexual, transsexual, homosexual flags, and on it goes. Now even Blue's Clues promoting LGBT. Let's take some phone calls here in our final segment. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. For 30 years, I've been researching the topic of brainwashing. For the past 2 years, I have been in production for a brand new docu-movie entitled Brainwashed America. We've made a big decision here, and that is to release it online for free. If you go to brainwashedthemovie.com, that's brainwashedthemovie.com, you can watch the first 2 hours absolutely free of charge. Part two will come out May 1st, Communist Day, May Day. Many Americans ask me all the time, what can we do? As you'll see in this documentary, Ronald Reagan, he narrated a black and white documentary back in the 1950s. And he and many others agreed that the ultimate weapon of the communist was brainwashing, disinformation. And the greatest way to fight it is with truth. Use this documentary to open the minds of Americans. This is your chance. BrainwashedTheMovie.com.
By the way, in a story that came out from LifeSiteNews.com earlier this week, 46 residents in a Spanish nursing home die after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Health authorities have repeatedly halted the administering of the second shot of Pfizer's vaccine. In the wake of a vaccine distribution program, 28 of 94 residents, as well as 12 staff members, had tested positive for COVID-19. But 46 in a Spanish nursing home died after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Bill Gates now saying a third shot may be needed to combat the variants of the coronavirus, telling that to CBS News. Let's go to the phone lines here today. We've got so much information going on. We're going to be going to Dean in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Dean, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I wanted to comment about Trump, the way he acted, acted very immature by not coming back at the media when he wasn't impeached.
Okay, what is your comment, Dean?
Well, I think that was a very mature thing for him to do.
Okay.
To not, not say anything, or he's being very... I think Biden should pardon Trump, I really do, but Trump is innocent, so why, how could he be pardoned? Yep. Silly.
Thank you, Dean. Jan in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Regarding the disasters happening weather-wise on our citizens, I wonder if anything is being done to investigate the fact that there may be very strong seeding of the clouds. We have a friend who was in the armed forces who eyewitnessed tanks of the chemicals and saw how the planes are going back and forth, back and forth.
You know what, Jan? We got a very, very bad connection. You're cutting out on your cell phone there or your remote phone, but you're saying for an investigation?
Yes. Because afterward, after the snowfall, he had chemical tests taken of our snowfall and found many dangerous chemicals in that snow.
What chemicals were found?
Brought on by these terrorists.
What chemicals were found, Jan?
I don't remember the exact names because I'm 83, but I do know that he was in the armed forces and he knows what he's talking about. He saw the tanks of chemicals.
Great. And who is this that saw them?
A neighbor.
Your neighbor. Okay, thank you, Jan. Carolyn, Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm 86. I'm pretty well informed. I've been informed about a lot of things before I took my children out of school 30 years ago. And I've kept up with things pretty well. But what I'm hearing today is just beyond belief. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm writing as fast as I can to write down some of the information so I can pass it on. And I don't know. I don't know. As they say, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just beside myself. What else can I do? I pray.
Yeah, indeed. But, and continue on, Carol, doing that, Carolyn, to continue on praying. And as you can pass information on to others, I don't know if you do the computer thing or not, but we...
No, I don't, okay. But I'm going to go over to my daughter. She lives next door, and she's very good on the computer, so I'm going to pass this on to her. Now, as I say, I'm older. She's about in her 50s, but her children are out of school now, too. So would it be better to just pass it on to people that are younger and that have children in school?
No, I mean...
Some of my great-grandchildren are out of public school.
You must be talking about the vaccination issue, Carolyn.
Pardon me?
You're talking about the vaccination issue?
Oh, that too. No, they haven't had that yet. Now, will they have a choice? Will they have a choice to not take that?
Okay, so what issue were you asking specifically about not having children in school? I mean, we covered a number of issues. What issue were you referring to?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that last bit.
What issue were you referring to?
Well, just... just everything. The vaccinations, yes, and the indoctrination.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and actually anybody, because the indoctrination that is going on, Carolyn, will be the future leaders of your community who will be taking votes on critical issues that will impact your schools, your city government, your county government, your state government as well. So just share the information with others. Some of the numbers we gave earlier take you directly to Washington, D.C., and a number of states will be impacted. If this passes, if this is allowed to stand for Washington, D.C., you can rest assured it's going to be going on into other states as well. I've got to run. I've got other callers. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Laura in Maryland. You're on the air, Laura.
Thank you, Jim. I've already known that American Girl has already been jumping on the bandwagon. I don't know if you remember, several years ago they had a ad where they featured a homosexual couple. And I wish they would stay out of the political and the cultural aspect, because there's a lot of moms and daughters that like the American Girl dolls. And I read the stories when I was growing up. So it's just disheartening to see that they're jumping on the bandwagon of embracing the sinful culture of the LGBTQ agenda.
And they're doing it this year with Akira Dahl, with an accompanying book that comes along with it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate your comments. Let's see. We got Robert in Josephine, Oregon. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm kind of excited about what's going on in the world. If you read your Bible, you'll find out it gets like this, like in the days of Noah. That means it's going to get naughtier and naughtier, okay? So what we need to do as fellow Christians is be happy and rejoiceful and share the love of Jesus with others and not let us get us down or dismayed or disheartened. We've got to be positive and share the love of Jesus. So the United States goes down. That's the way it's going to be. Israel didn't stand, so nor will the United States. We got to be good and tell people about Jesus. Get as many to come to Jesus as we possibly can, because the days are over. God will not be mocked or made fun of. And Obama and his clown are doing just that.
So, thank you, Robert. I got your comments there. And let me just say this, that the Bible calls us to be salt and to be light. And you point out the important part of spreading the gospel. Yeah, we talk one to another about the issues that are going on, because we have that responsibility also as being salt. And so, indeed, we share the gospel with others, and it's critical. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the verse that he was referring to. And we understand that man did that which was evil continuously, and we're seeing that before our very eyes. But we need to occupy until the Lord returns. We need to go about doing his business, sharing the gospel with others, and should be a warning to us that the day of salvation is today, to trust Christ as Savior. The Lord is coming back, and it's important to know that one day we will meet him as Savior or as Judge. So that's our encouragement, to know Christ as your Savior, and certainly as salt, we know we have an impact upon the society that's around us as well, and have that preservation impact. So let's be that as well. We can make our calls. We'll certainly be in prayer, make calls to your leaders, and to be effective both as salt and as light. Well, my time is gone. Thanks for standing by here with us today. Lord willing, Matt Staver will be with us on Monday. May you have a blessed day in Christ.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.